Hi, welcome to episode 36 of On Jordan, a podcast on Jordanian politics featuring interviews with experts from across the Hashemite Kingdom. My name is Aaron Maggett, a former Amman-based journalist, now in Washington. On August 2nd, 1990, NBC's Tom Brokaw issued a special news alert saying,
"Good afternoon, everyone. Well, at this hour, Iraq remains in firm control of the tiny oil-rich country of Kuwait, and there is no indication that those Iraqi troops, some 100,000 of them, will be leaving soon. They invaded Kuwait last night, United States time, in the middle of the night, Kuwaiti time, and they have taken control of that tiny country, which was not prepared to defend itself, of course. It only has about 20,000 troops altogether. It's about the size of New Jersey. The Iraqis have constructed this kind of a scenario to justify their invasion. They say they were invited in."
Saddam's 1990 invasion of Kuwait put Amman in a difficult spot. Jordan had maintained strong ties with its Iraqi neighbor. As the United States and its allies threatened to launch a military operation to defend Kuwait, King Hussein critiqued the Western war effort. In response, President George Bush signed a bill in April 1991 to cut $55 million in U.S. aid to Jordan. For a deep dive on Jordan's response to the first Gulf War, it's great to welcome Saad Hatter to the podcast. Saad is the head of the news division for Royal Media Group based in Amman. He co-founded the editorial division for the Jordanian newspaper Al Ghad and previously worked as a Middle East correspondent for the BBC. Thank you for joining us, Saad.
Most welcome, Aaron. Delighted to be with you, and all the best to all the listeners everywhere.
In the decade before the 1991 Gulf War, King Hussein visited Iraq around 60 times. Why was the Hashemite leader so close to Saddam Hussein at this time?
King Hussein, in those days, between 1979 and 1990, was an avid supporter of Saddam Hussein. He had thought that the revolution in Iran would have spilled to Arab countries if it wasn't for the what King Hussein used to call the Eastern Gate of the Arab Fold. There was a personal affinity between the two leaders. Saddam Hussein depended on Jordan, especially Aqaba port, for the import of Iraqi military hardware. And most of the imports and exports went through Aqaba port. And in those days, Aqaba port boomed with vitality and lucrative business. And the land transportation in Jordan took a hike in its growth. King Hussein was not on good terms with Syria. Hafez al-Assad took the sides of Iran for so many considerations. King Hussein felt that it was very important to support Saddam Hussein and Iraq in the face of Iranian tide and of spilling over the Iranian revolution through Iraq and from there to other Arab countries. And hence it was a two-way beneficial relationship. Saddam Hussein offered Jordan oil at very preferential rate. And this helped the Jordanian economy survive all those years. King Hussein helped Saddam Hussein with the transport, the conduit of goods and military hardware to and from Iraq through the Jordanian Red Sea port of Aqaba. King Hussein, as friend of the West, facilitated dialogue between Saddam Hussein and the West. The United States supported Saddam Hussein mostly tacitly, and Jordan served as a bridge between Saddam Hussein and Western world in those days, although Saddam Hussein was rotating in the sphere of former Soviet Union.
How did the Jordanian government react after Saddam invaded Kuwait in 1990?
As far as we know in those days, and we learned from officials around King Hussein, he was very furious. And he thought that Saddam Hussein was drawn into a booby trap in Kuwait, and he wanted to save the future of the Arab countries. So he embarked on shuttle missions between Baghdad and Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries, and he was very keen on trying to stop the piling up of Western armada in cooperation with Gulf states, notably Saudi Arabia. Also the cooperation of Syria, because President Hafez al-Assad succeeded in bargaining his participation with the U.S. allied forces for his hegemony over Lebanon in 1990. So he stretched his clout and military presence over Lebanon in return for joining the forces against Saddam Hussein. And the irony of this, Hafez al-Assad and Saddam Hussein belong to the same pan-Arabist Ba'ath Party before it divided into Iraqi Ba'ath Party and Syrian Ba'ath Party. So King Hussein tried his best for weeks. And he, as far as we understood then, he managed eventually, but painstakingly, to convince Saddam Hussein to pull out from Kuwait. And he worked it out with so much pain and so much difficulty. But every time he wanted to reach out to Gulf states or the West, especially the United States, there would be a window for a peaceful solution to the invasion of Kuwait. But he failed to do so because the avalanche of military option was piling up so fast in the region that King Hussein could not stop.
In February 1991, King Hussein delivered a televised speech saying, "The Allied war effort is against all Muslims and all Arabs and not against Iraq alone, and is intended to assert foreign hegemony in the Middle East." Why was King Hussein so strongly opposed to the U.S.-led operation to defend Kuwait, a fellow Arab state?
Maybe as an ally to the United States since 1957, King Hussein understood the mechanism of the U.S. policymaking towards the Middle East. He foresaw the dark days ahead if the United States executed its threats against Iraq. And this is what happened exactly. And I remember when we used to meet him as journalists in those days, he was quite somber. And the years 1990, 1991, 1992 were very dark times for Jordan. He wanted to liberate Kuwait by convincing Saddam Hussein to pull out his soldiers from Kuwait, because he understood that the military option would not only crush Iraq, and this is what happened, it would also reverberate across the region, and the amount of losses in lives and lost revenues, funds for reconstruction, amounted to dozens of thousands of casualties in Iraq and in Kuwait, and about $1 trillion in that decade between 1991 until the turn of the millennium.
How did Jordanian public opinion view King Hussein's handling of the 1991 Gulf War?
Actually, King Hussein's course of action then was not different than the pulse of most Jordanians who took to the streets demonstrating against the Western Armada piling up in the region. It was like a rare moment in history that the leadership in Jordan, when King Hussein was alive, that it was full similarity and full course of action, a similar course of action between the streets in Jordan and the policy of King Hussein in those days. And he gained so much popularity because he tried to stop the avalanche piling up in the region against Iraq, which eventually spilled out against most of the countries in the region.
And how did King Hussein's criticism of the Western alliance impact Jordan's relationship with the United States at the time?
Actually, King Hussein was trying to be as fair as possible and as central as possible. He was trying to convince the Americans that what they are doing would send the whole region into a catastrophe. And I remember he used the word abyss, one of his darkest speeches. He said the region is heading towards an abyss if we drawn into this debacle war against Iraq. The American diplomacy tried to punish King Hussein. And James Baker, I remember he made a couple of tours in the region, excluding Jordan for the first time, whereas Jordan was a pivotal corner for American diplomacy in the region. Between 90 and 1991, almost all of 1991, the American diplomacy avoided Jordan as part of punishment. And not only this, they tried to crippled the country with economic sanctions. And I think in those days it was Deloitte in Britain. They assigned Lloyd to inspect all incoming vessels and outgoing vessels from Jordan before delivering their shipments into the country, causing delays and causing extra expenses and making Jordan suffer because it tried to stop the US-led alliance against Iraq.
In 1990, Saudi Ambassador to the U.S. Prince Bandar wrote an open letter to King Hussein in the Washington Post saying, "Wouldn't it be more honorable and truly moving if you had been moved by Kuwaiti women and children with tears in their eyes because they lost their country as a result of the aggression of your friend, Saddam Hussein? Why did Jordanian-Saudi ties become so strained in 1990 and 1991?
Actually, King Hussein was very passionate regarding the invasion of Kuwait, and he was against it. And I remember hearing from officials how angry he was when he talked to Saddam Hussein furiously, and he spoke with him sternly about what he did, and that was a very wrong move by Saddam Hussein on August 2nd, 1990. Why did the Jordanian Saudi sour? Because the Saudis misconstrued King Hussein's hard work and pleas to the West not to attack Iraq as if he was condoning the invasion of Kuwait, which was not the case at all.
Even before the 1990 invasion of Kuwait, was King Hussein not bothered by Saddam's killings of tens of thousands of Iraqi Kurds in the 1980s? How could he maintain such close ties with Saddam Hussein given those killings?
In those days, the most important thing for Iraq is to stop Iran. Of course, there was collateral damage, definitely. But in those days, the West was in favor of Saddam Hussein and even Rumsfeld. In 1988, who later became Minister of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, exonerated Saddam Hussein regime from using chemical weapons in the North. But yes, Saddam Hussein used weapons in the South and in the North, and he was a brutal leader. But Hussein did not like his way of leadership. Having said this, it did not keep King Hussein from supporting Saddam Hussein again in his war against Iran.
How did Kuwait and Saudi Arabia try to punish Jordan for King Hussein's 1991 actions?
In those days, they took strong stance against King Hussein. 400,000 Jordanians, most of them of Palestinian origin, were evicted from Kuwait, and they added burden on the Jordanian economy, and they stopped financial support to Jordan until maybe for a decade.
Last question. From 1992 onward, did King Hussein shift his policy towards Saddam Hussein?
No, King Hussein was very bitter with Saddam Hussein, and he blamed him for the deterioration of the situation in Iraq. Saddam Hussein kept supporting Jordan until the turn of the millennium with oil at preferential rates, despite the growing distance between King Hussein and Saddam Hussein in those days. Lifeline of import-export from Aqaba remained, but the political relations were not as before. In August 1995, King Hussein received the two daughters of Saddam Hussein, Raghd and Rana, and their two husbands, who were brothers also, and he granted them political asylum in those days. And this angered Saddam Hussein so much, and both of them did not touch base again until the death of King Hussein in 1999. After King Abdullah II ascended the throne, he kept a distance with Iraq's Saddam Hussein in those days, and he met with almost all the Arab leaders except for Saddam Hussein, who will face his destiny in 2003 when the American-led coalition topples him. And
that's it for today. Thank you very much, Saad. I really appreciate your time. That was veteran Jordanian analyst Saad Hatter. Here's what else happened in the past 2 months. March 24th, thousands of Jordanians protested in the capital, calling for the cutting of all diplomatic ties with Israel as the Gaza war has extended into the sixth month. Large number of activists have demonstrated on a nightly basis near the Israeli embassy in Amman for 2 weeks, chanting, "All of Jordan is Hamas, and no Zionist embassy on Jordanian land." Jordanian police have arrested some attending the demonstrations, including Hebrew photographer Sherbil Disi. On April 1st, the Hashemite Kingdom's Public Security Directorate lamented cases of assault and vandalism while urging citizens to protest peacefully. Former Jordanian minister Sameh Hamataya told Middle East Eye, "Hamas wants to send a message that it can influence and lead the Jordanian street, which is also convenient for the Iranians, who have not been able to exercise any political influence in Jordan." Hamas military spokesman Abu Obeida had earlier noted, "We call on our brothers in Jordan in particular to escalate all forms of popular mass and resistance action. You, our people in Jordan, are the nightmare of the occupation that fears your movement." At the same time, Murad al-Adaila, the Secretary General of the Islamic Action Front, insisted, "There are no special party interests in these protests, which represent all sectors of Jordanian society that support the Palestinian resistance." On February 12th, King Abdullah visited Washington, D.C. for the first White House meeting by an Arab leader since the Gaza war erupted last October. President Joe Biden praised the U.S. alliance with the Hashemite Kingdom as strong and said Washington was grateful for Jordan's friendship. A few weeks later, the U.S. and Jordanian militaries worked together to conduct airdrops of food and humanitarian aid into northern Gaza. Before I go, please listen to previous episodes, including Jordan's response to the Gaza war with former Minister Moran Juma, along with Jordanian airstrikes in Syria with Middle East Institute scholar Charles Lister. Finally, if you'd like to join the podcast or have an idea for an episode, please reach out to me via Twitter @AaronMagid or by email aaron.magid1@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.